It's time for The Hype, episode number 155. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you follow us now at Mojo Break Media on YouTube. We are now doing three shows a week. We have our baseball dugout session, as well as our NFL Blitz episode, which will be coming later this week. But on The Hype today, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, and the main focus is the NFL rookie craze. These prices have been insane. We're going to put those under the magnifying glass and let you know what we think about this craze. We're also going to talk Mosaic pricing, early Mosaic football pricing, what we're seeing on eBay. It's just been an insane run with the Mosaic football, and man, the hype is real. The name of this show. Dan and C-Rad, whoever wants to jump in first, how are you guys doing?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. It was a beautiful day to have football back on Sunday. I enjoyed the hell out of Sunday morning, just being able to sit down and watch literally all the games I could. Like, I just took it, I soaked it all in before I had to come in and do some breaks on Sunday. So just very excited that football's back. You know, usually I don't get to catch the end of the afternoon games, but, you know, I come in and then everybody's watching it, so that they kind of let me know what's going on. But, yeah. Thank you.
The Raiders, man. The offense looks great. Defense.
It's always nice to get that first win in the beginning of the season, too.
So getting that dub.
You got Abrams back, dude.
Yeah.
I think he led the team in tackles. He may have led the NFL in tackles.
Salmon? Yeah.
Salmon.
I mean, like I was saying on the stream all Sunday, it's like, you know, for me, our offense looked incredible. Like, one of the best it's ever looked in the past like decade or so.
Yeah, bar is kind of set a little low. I don't know if you'd say that.
However, is hot garbage, and it needs a lot of work. So.
No, you guys got Corey Littleton now, and
it was they them young guys ain't there yet.
I'll Corey Littleton, he's an old man.
Dude, it was Dan. It was your birthday. The Rams won. My Niners lost. I'm the loser at this table today. How does it feel for the Rams to beat the Cowboys? The Rams had to be the underdog.
Rams fan feels good. I don't know what it feels like to be with the organization, because I don't play for the Rams.
I think you're on the team.
No, I'm not on the team.
You're not out there kicking?
Not. Okay. But is that all you think I can do?
Yeah, well, I mean, based on stature and size.
I don't know, man.
Maybe a DB. You might be able to be a DB.
I can't be a DB. The receivers are like 6'4". Yeah, not going to happen. Yeah, but I'll tell you what I could do. You could hand me the rock. I could probably run a couple plays here.
I thought you were gonna say you could hand me the cord to walk with the coach. You know, the whatever they call those people that hang out with Sean McVay and they make sure the cord.
Hey, we don't know what you're talking about, but that's
or a water boy.
You mean the backup guy.
I think it's wireless now, but there used to be a guy
you're holding cords to a wireless headset?
Well, now you probably don't do that. But back in the day, there used to be guys that would follow along the coach with the cord. They would make sure you wouldn't trip on the cord.
There's that old man league again. I mean, it's been pretty wireless for a while now. But you're talking – there's a guy who, at least with the Rams, I don't know if he was last year or the year before, he would hold McVay back from the sideline, so he, like – wouldn't go onto the field.
Okay.
But that was his one job.
Oh, he's holding back,
not holding, but he was just like making sure that he didn't go too far. Here's the line. Don't pass the line. That was the thing. I mean, Shanahan doesn't need it. He'll never get confused for a player out there. McVay will. McVay's in shape. He's ready to go out there and play some ball.
I think Shanahan could take him in a fight.
No, not at all.
It'd probably take John Gruden, too. If it was a three-way battle royale, I think Shanahan comes out on top. But
you didn't ask me how I was doing.
I guess, I don't even have to ask. The Rams won.
No, I mean, but, you know, you didn't ask me how I was doing. I'm okay.
You're okay?
Thanks for asking. I'm okay. I could be better. You know, the last couple of days, I've seen one of my buddies on Twitter get bullied around a little bit. Get trolled. I don't like that. Mm. That doesn't make me happy. I want to do something. I'm trying to figure out what to do. I'm just trying to run that good life and be a good person.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what to do yet.
All right. Well, we'll
I'm
see.
Gonna th- but I'm going to find
Developing
something.
News. Developing
I'm
news.
Gonna
stay, some, stay
I'm
going to
figure something out. This ain't done.
Well, speaking of trolls, we're going to give you an update on the Ben Baller situation. Last week, we said, hey, give Top some time, man. They did the Nike way of making sure as many people get Ben Baller boxes as possible, but without fail, we know during the internet days, and we know there's a lot of WBs out there, right away, I was just scrolling through my Twitter, and there's this guy that's like, how is that people are receiving their Ben Baller Topps Chrome orders, but my Montgomery Club pre-order is still pending? Do you understand what pre-order means? Dude. At Topps. Just hang out, man. It's not, you're going to get your box.
I didn't need
just,
that.
Just chill, man. Don't ruin this process for collectors that want to get one box and don't have to deal with bots anymore. It's going to take them a little while. They didn't promise any street date for you. You're going to get it. I know it sucks. You see your buddy, Sport Nutsack, opening the Ben Baller Chrome, and he's throwing out all these $100 Acuñas, and you're just like itching your neck, and you're like, where's my Ben Baller?
Okay,
just
that,
hang out.
You know, first off, made up Twitter handle.
There's a guy out there.
No, there isn't.
There has to be, man.
made up. But what the issue is that if you get yours late,
you might have made more money.
No, you're not, though. Because if you look at the singles right now, you put up Acuña, you put up Robert, you put up all these, they're getting a premium. So by the time you get yours and rip it open, you're not going to be able to get a quarter of what they were going for.
Then why don't you write a Twitter about how upset you are?
Well, first off, I would, but I don't have a personal Twitter and I don't care that much. But I would never, ever, under any circumstance, use capitals. I would never scream. It is inappropriate and don't do it. I don't like it. I don't like it in our chat. And if you do that in our chat, I don't appreciate it. I don't go to your house.
Well, I'm okay if the guy comes in with all caps, because maybe that's just, you know, the caps lock was stuck. But when you start lowercase and you work your way up to caps like this gentleman did, that means that you are trying to prove a point with your anger. Do you understand what pre-order means?
No, I mean, I think without a doubt what it means is that you are now screaming.
Yes.
But it's in typing, right? That's what we're doing here. So it's you screaming.
Yes.
While
typing. Is that what that means?
I mean, what does it mean when you do like...
You're a little bit younger. Is that what it means?
Yeah. So you're trying to get your point across.
I think C-Rad's like a year and a half younger than us. But we're always like, man, like, dude, what was it like? Like,
he looks 10 years younger than us.
Growing up, like, just with the internet.
You don't even remember.
Me and Doug remember a time before the internet.
You don't even remember American Online, bro. You don't remember the 56K modems.
I think my family didn't actually get my cousins and stuff had computers back then, but I don't think I got a computer till probably, and you guys can tell me if you got maybe earlier than this, but I think it was like 98 I got my first computer. 1998.
So the first, I mean, I grew up in the hood, so we didn't have a lot of computers. Nobody had computers, but my buddy, the first computer I ever, like home computer I ever saw that wasn't in school, was like 1995.
Yeah, probably about that.
First computer I've ever, I was like, wow. I'm like, what do we do with it?
My dad had a Commodore 64. There was no internet, but there was some pretty cool games that you'd play. He did have some sort of I think it was a 2-bit internet. So there was a dial-up internet where you could literally just, like, it was DOS. You could maybe find somebody to text with. But
2-bit, huh?
Yeah, it was like 2-bit. Or and, 2K. And then 56K.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it feels like we're running 2K over here.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it feels like it when we're, like, last Wednesday, for instance, we closed down the feed for the hype and then couldn't get back online.
Yeah.
Just couldn't do it.
And I actually, you know what? I actually think even earlier than that, I needed to print, I think it was a Niner logo or something for a school project.
Bet.
And I was at my grandma's house, and my step-grandpa was trying to be all, like, technologically savvy. And he's all, yeah, I could just download it from the internet. And literally to download the picture, not even to print it, took, like, 5 hours. And it was just, like, processing the picture of the Niners logo until it finally was like, okay, now we can print it. And the printing part was fast, but, like, a picture. Can you imagine that?
It was a picture of Pamela Anderson.
It might have been.
Or I'm trying to think of like another 1995 Alicia Silverstone, maybe.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. No, maybe.
That's late. You would have had 20, like 14.4 or maybe 28. You would have been able to get that printed up right away. But
that's true.
What was a hip, like popular person in like 1995?
New Kids on the Block, or is that? I mean, a little bit before
80s,
that.
Dude. What are you?
95. I don't know. I
Tupac.
Mean, probably Pac. I mean, Britney was what, like 98, 99. Justin Timberlake, all the boy.
Yeah,
all
that was late. That was late 90s. Yeah.
What was a big deal in 95? Let's like just who was a big deal in 95?
Deion Sanders on the Niners. So 94, 1995 hit
Space Jam
singles. Maybe hey, we're going off the cuff here. Coolio, Gangsta's Paradise was number one. TLC?
Smash Mouth?
Maybe Smash Mouth. So, well, let's move along. I wanted to talk about
No.
Book cards and why.
Talk about music though.
Why you should never, ever grade a book card. Because if you do, you'll be stuck with it for life because no one will ever buy it from you. Because
that's this, what I was saying on the stream too.
This is what they look like. Just absolutely ridiculous. You can see here with this Lamar Jackson that there's just a whole lot of real estate of plastic and I don't even know what you call it. There's a sleeve in there. Just overkill. I don't know if because the book's so thick, that's the only way they can do it. I actually searched PSA and I could not find one. So maybe PSA does not do this. But Beckett's happy to take your money. And one would think that you would not expect to receive something back like this. Because if I receive something something back like this, I'd be kind of angry that I now have something that I cannot put anywhere. What am I going to do with this? Am I going to hang it on my wall? It looks stupid that way. It can't fit in a card box. What am I doing with this kind of thing?
Well, the thing is that if you were to bring that to the National or a card show, especially like the National, you got to travel. You could even put that in your carry-on.
No.
It's too big. You have to literally, you have to check that in. You have to check it in.
Mm-hmm. It's huge.
I also want to know, does Beckett let you know before they slab it in like a
that's what I'm saying,
an,
yeah.
an 8x10 that probably weighs like 8-9 pounds?
You might be able to use it as a weapon.
Did they let you know, like, hey, before we slab this and you're not going to have any, you have no idea what you're going to do with it. You can't display it. You can't, you know, put it in a storage box or anything. Are you sure you want us to slab it? Like, or they just do it? They're just like, whatever, this is all we got. And is that, did they look at the finished product and go, great, roll it out, wouldn't have it any other way. There's no way we can get a piece of plastic that's going to fit the actual card, can we?
So I hit a in the big football mixer this past weekend, I hit a book card, 101 Shield, DK Metcalf, NFL Shield.
Oh,
book.
I saw that thing.
Yeah,
dude,
so
that was
nasty. So the person that hit it asked me in stream if they thought I should get it graded, if he should get it graded. I swear, like a few years ago, you know, I don't remember them being graded like this that you see on the screen here. So my thing I told him is that, yeah, you should never. This is just, I didn't even know this about this. I told him that you should probably never grade books because there's always just gonna be a lot of chipping on the edges of books and stuff. You
yeah,
know, like
that
the way
one was kind of I saw
the way
it
they're handled.
Chipped, yeah.
Like if
yeah.
there's color on the card, the way that those books go around in the boxes. You generally don't really want to grade a book, right? Now that I've seen this,
I was gonna say now
you really
now,
don't want to grade a book.
Now that you've seen this, you can 100% tell every group rate customer. Don't do it. You may want to actually keep that on the desktop over there so you can just like put it up and be like, this is what may happen. But we don't know. Like,
it's terrible.
We don't. Maybe they figured it out. But I don't understand who, one, decided to slab it, like who worked for Beckett. And they're like, what do we have to slab it? The biggest piece of acrylic plastic we can find. Bring that out. Fuse two of those together. Call it a day. Where's the quality control? Who's making these decisions?
You think an email would happen, but I don't know. I mean, maybe it has something to do with the manufacturing of the plastic to be thick enough to go around something like that. Maybe you just can't do it compact. I don't know. I don't know these things, but all I know is that this is ugly, but it has inspired me, and I know C-Rad, we're trying to start C-Rad 6.5 grading company.
Yep.
So
yep.
What I did was I'm sorry I didn't ask you.
What do you got under the desk there?
I didn't ask you about this, but we went ahead and we're going to roll out this program. We said, why just do it with single card with book cards? Why don't we just do it with single cards? So we've got the C-Rad 6.5 official grading slab now. So we rolled it out. So you have... You know, you have a way to show
Wait
your single
minute.
Cards.
I'm not putting 6.5 on a Giants player.
Yeah, you are. Because it's my favorite player. So
dude, you ruined my lid.
So like there that. You go. So, I mean, it'll look great next to your books. I feel, you know, so if this is the way that Beckett's going to grade things, you might as well get something that, you know, kind of looks similar to it and start grading single cards that
actually,
way, too.
Let me get a look. I'm going to see what kind of work you put in this. Is that just regular Scotch tape?
No, it's UV protectant, clear layers that will not damage the card.
And it's a C-Rad GS,
No, it's a 6.5. Well, it's a test model. It's a test model. But then he's going to sign every one as well for his authentication.
And if you have the correct, you can use it to close a bin.
You want to show him over there? You're probably not picking up on it.
I mean, look.
You want to zoom in a little bit there? Well, there you go. You could be Vanna White. Vanna White. Yeah.
Is that 1995? So look at, can you see it?
It's quality craftsmanship.
I actually get Doug directly.
Yeah.
There you go. I can't even see him.
Yeah, so that's just beautiful. It's great. So we're gonna roll that out. We're only gonna charge $9, but then it's gonna be $50 to ship it because of its size. But it'll come protected.
You so actually you get can, the bottom of the container too.
Yeah. So then you can put stuff inside the container there.
Extra protection. Yeah.
So you can basically
extra layer of protection.
Take all your base cards and crush them in there like that.
Yeah.
I mean, don't crush them. Don't.
You know what? And our turnaround time is gonna be 30 minutes from when we receive the card. So 30 minutes. I mean, it's the fastest time that you could ever have.
I got a question about the grading process. Is everything a 6.5?
Well, I mean, I went a little out of the realm. He's got to like the card. He doesn't like the Giants. So I kind of bent the rules a little bit.
Yeah, like I don't grade on anything like edges, surface, you know, centering, none of that weird stuff that people grade cards. I grade on how cool the card looks, the design, how it makes me feel as a person inside.
I like the emotional aspect of it.
Yeah, you gotta be like,
I like this card, it makes me happy. Yeah. So that it definitely goes
Conrad
up.
Conrad
like,
grading service, 6.5.
That whole gem. Like the surface, I mean, that's old school collecting.
Well, yeah. Ron has a question about the actual book, the grading service. He says the container wide as well. That's it. I'm glad you asked because we can actually do it in any color you want. So you can have a red one, a blue one,
maybe
a black one.
It really depends.
The white
on,
one as well.
It depends on what kind of containers they have at Home Depot or like Lowe's.
No. These are made in North America, guys. Maybe. They're made in.
No, I mean they could be, but we have to get them from our distributor. So. I mean, Uline maybe. Uline may have them, but
yeah.
Again, you get the whole container with it.
So start throwing around these names. They're going to want a cut of this project here that we're doing. So, but you know what? We're rolling it out. You can get it very, very soon. Second Tuesday of next week, it's going to roll out. So you guys can go ahead and jump in on that. So, well, let's go ahead and get into the main few topics that we wanted to talk about. The NFL craze. The craze that's going on in this hobby that's caused basketball collectors to just put on their football jersey and put their Zion jersey in the closet. We're going to start with some Mosaic early pricing. First off, there's some guys that are just absolutely insane. Drew Lock, first Mosaic.
Second year
gold, Power Prism, 10 of 10, SP Rare. They want the low price of 20 grand. So if you're a big Drew Lock collector, there's only 10 of them out there. I mean, 20 grand, you might be able to offer him $5 and get it. I don't know, but 20 grand, and it's his first Mosaic. So, literally, the whole set is the first Mosaic.
I think you gotta.
You got a rookie card every card.
No,
then.
No, but you gotta be clear with this. This is somebody asking this price. This is not what it sold for. It didn't sell.
Yes, so, I'll make that
so
very clear.
I know you're going for the old shock value, but I think you're gonna confuse people because they're gonna be like, I got one of those cards, and
Doug says I got 20 grand.
I got 20 grand.
I'm retiring.
Like, you can't, I mean, what if you can't stop somebody from being, like, in the listing, and then they link up the Mojo Break hype, and they're like, Doug said it was 20 grand.
We don't get that many listeners, but maybe.
I'm just saying.
Maybe.
Just saying.
One day we'll be as good as Run Good Life, but anyways, some of the stained glass that are out are selling pretty well. We got Tom Brady, recent one, sold for $500. And a Patrick Mahomes sold for $1,000. And these don't seem that they're that rare. So this is kind of shocking to me. These are both more than I would have thought. What are your guys' thoughts on these Mosaic stained glass?
You know, if I was to put a number on it, if I had to stamp it, say, like, this is what the print run on these Mosaic stained glass. 5,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, not that high.
Yeah. No. Well, you got to think their retail's still gonna come out, and they're probably gonna be in retail. You're getting three.
Stained glass is hobby exclusive.
Okay. Fine. Yeah. Fine. Thanks for pointing that out. What about No Huddle though?
We don't know.
But how many subjects are on that subset?
Probably like 10, 20, 12,
20 maybe?
15 names, maybe.
20? 20? You're getting three per case on average.
3-4.
Well, we were talking about that with basketball.
Okay, though, okay. Okay.
I feel like we had the same talk.
I over-exaggerated. I shock value for the fine people at home watching. Not 5,000, but 2,500. And I don't think you can dispute that. I don't think you can. No, 20.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
I'm going to say 24,999.
Okay.
I'll say 1,500 copies, bro, of each player.
Let's see if we
1,499.
I'm trying to find the,
no,
the mosaic.
2,500. And I think I'm being conservative.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go with the same argument I made as we did for LeBron mosaics in basketball stained glass.
It doesn't matter.
It's the
we can actually
the
have
demand
it.
Is still higher than the card count for Patrick Mahomes. You know, I can't say that about anybody else, but right now Patrick Mahomes I feel like will keep his value. But, you know,
At what point, C-Rad, do you feel that there's too much supply for the demand? If you got a stained glass insert in every box,
mm-hmm.
do you think that it would
10 on the checklist?
I feel like, yeah, I can't even say that because we talk about how rare Prism Silvers are in football, and you get one of those per box. But I mean, granted, the name checklist is like 300 compared
yeah,
to like
you can
20,
get anybody,
but, right? So if it's only 20 names and then you get one per, if it was really
it's
one per box,
it's 10.
Ten names.
It's 10 names?
Yeah. So now it went from 25 to like 4,000.
Back to 5,000.
Yeah. You got Mahomes, Brady, Lamar, Elliott, Drew Locke, which I'm surprised made the list. Aaron Rodgers, Saquon, Gardner Minshew, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Russell Wilson. So they're actually
yeah. What's up with Drew Locke?
Yeah.
That
there's
list?
No there's no Murray. Why so, would you not have Murray?
Danny Dimes. What's up with Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, and Gardner Minshew. They that must have been a late meeting, real quick. maybe I don't have a slide for this, but this came out the other day. Did you see that they're gonna have
color blast,
stained glass and prism as well, different design? So if you look at it, you guys can Google it. I'm sorry, we don't have a slide for it.
I get back to C-Rad.
Stained glass on the prism.
I get back to C-Rad. At what point does the supply outweigh the demand?
It's hard to answer that question because our hobby is always growing nowadays. Like more and more people come in every day. It's like, it's hard to really
throw
answer
out
that
any data
why,
you have.
But why is everybody gravitating towards these, like, what Panini is trying to call ultra rare?
Yeah.
Or rare parallels?
Mm-hmm.
They're not that rare.
Yeah.
Is it the design? It looks pretty cool. I mean, I know it's basically the same design, but I felt like basketball looked better for some reason. I don't know. Maybe just
wasn't
the colors
the,
pop
wasn't
better.
Wasn't the original one like kind of an acrylic acetate?
They've had different ones over the years. They keep trying to roll it out. I'm actually
like,
surprised it's
like,
stuck.
Like the acetate one, I think, would be the true stained glass.
Yeah.
And they do have the color blast in Prism Football as well, which will be very, very rare, I hope, unless they ruin that one. But back to Mosaic, we've got some other prices. There was a one-of-one Aaron Rodgers. I can't find out what exactly it sold for, but the guy had it for $10,000 best offer, and it sold. So a one-of-one black Mosaic, and the guy put sick in the listing as well, which was probably the reason it sold, let's be honest. It said somebody put sick in the title, and that's what I search. I search sick one-of-one. So.
It probably sold for $9,000 because of that.
Yeah, I mean, black one-of-one, sick. And and some autos. These surprised me, actually. These are a little bit higher than I thought, but it is the first week of Mosaic. You have a Tua Silver Mosaic Rookie Auto, not numbered, that sold for $1,700, obviously not graded. And a Joe Burrow Silver Mosaic that sold for $1,500.
That's Tua overselling Burrow for the same card.
Well, the Tua was sold on the 12th, which was on Saturday, and the Burrow was sold on Monday. So maybe it was that, you know, got it out quick kind of type hype.
I will say, because I opened up so much of this over the weekend, they're extremely tough to pull.
Yeah, we pulled. Rookies. I think we pulled two Tuas. We got lucky, but we did not pull any Joe
Burrows.
I
think without a doubt the top quarterbacks are short printed.
Yep.
There is Patrick Queen. There's a lot more Patrick Queen autos in this product.
Clavon,
than there
Chase
is.
On.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have checked watch count. So D Porter in the chat said the Aaron Rodgers sold for $3,000.
Sick.
Sick.
Wait, watch count still works? I thought that died like months ago.
I think
ago.
They fixed it. So what do you guys think? Before we move on to some parallels that have sold, do you think that these are kind of what you guys had in mind, or are these, in your opinion, too high? Like, whoever wants to take it first. And what do you guys think in the chat?
Got it. I'll take it.
You'll run with it.
I'll run with it.
Cam Akers.
You know, we're at a point now, and again, I'm old school. I'm what they call a dinosaur in this industry.
You are weathered.
I would gravitate and go, man, I would prefer the auto than any parallel you could find. Any parallel. Even a numbered, like a number to 10 gold version, non-auto, I would rather have the rookie auto than that card. But value-wise, that's incorrect. The non-autos and parallels, that's the new collector game right there.
Mm-hmm.
We already talked about
it's
it.
That young man music.
It is that guitar, you know? But that's actually the old man music for the guitar. But I would go with the auto, and I think that's a good price.
I'll agree. I feel like the prices are in line with what the product is going for right now. So it doesn't seem too high to me.
I think it seems too high for me if I'm going to invest. I think I still, maybe it's the old man way of thinking, but I'm going to wait for contenders. I'm going to try to buy one of these contenders. Now, I know contenders the contenders are going to be way
world,
higher
out
than
of this world, bro.
But I'm going to save that $1,500 and apply it to a contenders auto.
Well, who knows? You know, contenders is, you know, contenders.
There you go.
Man, we're getting good use out of this $20 dinosaur.
Who knows?
We'll see.
We got
to use it. But every time you say something that's a dinosaur perspective, you get the dinosaur.
Maybe shiny is the new wave, and stuff like contenders autos are old news, man. We'll see.
Could be. I mean, one thing to keep in mind too with Mosaic is, I believe there's only the base, a gold, and a 101. That's it. There's no other numbering on the autos, I believe, unless Choice and Huddle has different numberings. But from the hobby perspective, it's just the base, the gold, the 10, and the 101. So, which I believe I heard that Joe Burrow has pulled the 101 already. This was shocking. So, Kyler Murray, numbered out of 10, and it's pack fresh as opposed to pack unfresh, went for $1,000. A Kyler Murray gold second year went
first
for $1,000. Yeah, rookie mosaic, I guess.
No, it's the flame emojis.
Ooh, that's what sold it, huh?
Yeah.
Flame gold.
The other one had sick. This one had the flame emojis. I'm a buyer at the flame emojis.
4 out of 10. I mean, there wasn't any Kyler card last year that was selling for that price that wasn't autographed.
No, sir.
And then you have a silver Joe Burrow SSP rare, the guy put on the title, 970. So this really is what, speaking to this whole craze right now, is this Joe Burrow's card. $970. There is 5 silvers in a hobby box. Obviously, the checklist is pretty big, but once again, we don't know how many they are made of this. I'm assuming the silvers are not going to only be in hobby. Those are going to be in the no huddle. Are they in the choice?
Well, the silvers, yes. You get one silver a box, and you don't know who it's going to be.
Well, my point exactly with the previous slide, for $1,400, I can get a Joe Burrow auto. Doug, myself, C-Red, we've opened up a lot of Mosaic since it came out. I have not pulled a Joe Burrow auto. You have not pulled a Joe Burrow auto. Have you pulled a Joe Burrow? No. I have personally pulled multiple Joe Burrow silvers already.
Yes, me too.
And you probably
You guys have?
Yeah. No, you haven't?
I've pulled maybe 2.
Okay. Well, but we haven't pulled any autographs.
Yeah.
But we've pulled, let's say we've pulled about 8 to 10 Joe Burrow regular silvers. Obviously, not as short printed as the auto. Why would you not want the auto for $1,400 when you're getting or $900, $1,000, $1,000 for the autograph? Which I can tell you right now, there is less autos than Joe Burrow silvers.
But
so
what's
going down?
This new wave of collectors does not want ink on their card anymore. That's the thing. That's what I can kind of extrapolate for this whole situation is that these folks, these new collectors that have came over from basketball. They're so used to getting the T-Mall and all this stuff that doesn't have any autographs that they don't want to buy the autograph.
No. Nobody knows about T-Mall.
Everybody knows
nobody,
about T-Mall,
nobody,
bro.
There's no collect. No, they know about that, the blasters and stuff like that. I don't know if the general collectors even know about the Asia releases until a group breaker here in the States starts breaking it.
No, I think it's actually a lot more popular than you think. I've talked to multiple people that they have people, maybe it's just around here, but around here people know about it because they can have people buy it for them or they go over there and buy it.
I would say generally a lot of people who are introduced in the hobby that are introduced to the T-Malls and the
maybe
Asia
the T-Mall is a bad example.
Are introduced through domestic breaks.
Okay, the T-Mall was a bad example, but I think the basketball model was a good example of Panini trying to make as many cards as they can in a year without using autographs.
I think we've been saying that before.
We've been saying that. So that's changed the culture.
Yeah, this is the beginning of the end, if that is the case. If the autographs, the sticker autos, the autos that, you know, sell for $2-3 that everybody sits there and complains about, that is the only thing that is holding us back from just mass production. Everybody gets a Joe Burrow silver if we do not have those guaranteed autos and relics in a box. I've been saying it for
I'm
years.
Surprised they could have rolled out Mosaic with one auto a box. They could have doubled their print run.
But I'm going to tell you right now, once you start seeing major releases like the Prisms and the Optics and they start changing the pack configuration and the odds to be no autos, they are making more of that product at that point.
Yes.
And if they're making more of that product, the supply and demand will catch up with itself.
One thing you'd notice with Mosaic, and I want to hear C-Rad's perspective on this after, is you can kind of see that there's little to no rookie content in Mosaic this year because they know they have to stretch that content out. I know we're in a pandemic and we didn't have a rookie premiere, so that might add to it as well. Mm-hmm. But you're seeing a lot of like lineman autos, retired guys that probably didn't cost a lot to sign that were ready, willing, and able to probably return their autographs and fast. And you're seeing, you know, normally in a product this early, in a 12 box case, so there would be 24 autos. I would say 3 years ago, 23 out of the 24 autos would be rookies. Yep. At this point, we're at like 5 to 10 a case are rookies, and the rest are vets, retired linemen like Javon Kearse. There was Willie Rofe. There was, you know, I mean, these guys are collectible in a certain aspect, but it just tells me that Panini's preparing to make so much more product. And I don't know if the supply will outweigh the demand. I don't know. But you can kind of see that with the holding back of some of the rookie content. What's your thoughts on that, C-Rad?
Yeah, definitely notice it on this particular product, exactly what you're saying. We'll see. We'll see, you know, hopefully whenever we get out of this pandemic and things get back to a little bit more normal and we have a regular, you know, rookie premiere event next year, hopefully, maybe, I don't know, maybe 2 years from now, but right now they are seem like they're stretching these rookie autos as far as they can for sure.
Yeah.
I'd like to jump in and talk about the rookie premiere and the rookie photo shoot real quick. I'm scared that is going to be a thing of the past. Mm. Panini has to flip a pretty substantial bill to put that on. Mm. If you can basically put out the same, if not more content without having to flip that bill for the rookie photo shoot, then why would you? Why wouldn't you cut that? That'd be the first cost. If I was in the boardroom for Panini, that'd be the first cost I would cut.
Yeah, I definitely see your point. My thing is that I don't know if I'm the only one that feels like this, but you know, obviously with no rookie premiere event, they weren't able to take photos of these rookies in their NFL uniform. So most of the stuff, even up to Mosaic, those photos are Photoshopped. So it's like very obvious that it's like it almost looks like I'm looking at a Madden 2021 card.
But this is tricky because you have been at a rookie photo shoot.
Yeah.
You have seen how they go about taking the photos, and when you open up the product, you remember specifically where those photos came from and the setting, right? What most collectors have no idea what the difference is. Like, they don't know that this is a Photoshopped college photo that basically has them in their, you know,
yep.
their and no, well, nobody, I mean, they, the average collector is not going to know the difference. Actually, man, I would say
it sticks out like a sore thumb.
I would actually say the average person who's even in the industry, could be a breaker or an online retailer, wouldn't know the difference.
Man, it sticks out real bad to me. You're probably right, but for me, like, I'm seeing these pictures, I'm like, man. Looked like some Madden graphics to me.
One thing that you guys don't really know is how much time each card takes for them to Photoshop, because they're paying that person probably hourly, where maybe that cost gets pretty close to the rookie premier cost, because you have to do at least 100 players for every set. Now, I don't know if they had a team out there over the weekend snapping photos, you know, to use those in upcoming. I don't know if they're allowed to do that. I'm sure there is some photographers out there. But I got to think that's a pretty tedious process to do that, where they could just grab a photo of, you know, Joe Burrow throwing the ball at the rookie premiere instead of having to take his LSU photo and turn that into a Browns uniform or a Bengals uniform.
But for this year, what if you just have to do one Photoshop job for every card? And what you do is that you just zoom in and zoom out to make it look like a different
photo.
Yeah. They do it all the time in baseball.
Yep.
So again, yeah, how many releases are there going to be in the football category? Who knows? If they only have to do one player one time, then I think they're still saving money. I mean, you're pretty good at Photoshop.
I'm not that good at all.
I mean, again, getting back to this, I mean, you got a real serious graphic design skill.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, I took a lot of time on that. I really did. I mean, it took majority of my morning to get that one ready. But, well, I wanted to hit on some of the prices of the guys that aren't necessarily in this year's product. I want to go over some of the big-name quarterbacks and their rookie card prices. The data is shocking. It goes along with the whole thing that's going on. So if you look at a Cam Newton, recent sale of a Cam Newton 2011 Topps Chrome, BGS 9.5, $224 sold on Sunday, maybe around game time. I don't know. If you go back to March 17th, you could buy as many as you want at $40. So that's in March. Granted, he was not on the Patriots, I don't think, at that time. But that is a shoot came up right there. I mean, from $40 to 200 and some change. So you could also look at your boy, Derek Carr, a 2014 Prism, which is absolutely the worst design they ever made, along with 14-15 basketball as well. But that Derek Carr card doesn't look too bad. Gem Mint 10, they're selling for like $160, and there's one that's probably ended already, $125. So they're trending around $160. If you go to the data, you could have bought some for $22 back in February. So
it's that Vegas Dave spike, man.
No, it's just quarterbacks, shiny quarterbacks.
Derek Carr is just awesome. He's an awesome quarterback.
So. Matt Stafford is selling for $475. Matt Stafford is mediocrity at the quarterback position. I'm not saying he's terrible, but $475. Granted, there's probably less of that.
I was going to say, like, in 2009, to get a refractor and to get it to PSA 10, probably pretty tough.
Yeah, yeah. And you could see one sold in July for $220 or best offer. So that is literally a two-month turnaround, doubling your money. You're seeing this trend with almost every quarterback. Look at every quarterback that's starting. You're seeing the same thing. Obviously, Tom Brady sells well no matter what, but a recent sale of a PSA 10 went for $11,600, but a 9.5 in August sold for $4,800. So even Brady's almost done.
Let me ask you guys a question real quick about Brady. Has he cemented his legacy enough? And I know this is a silly question, but no matter what he does this year with the Buccaneers, say he has, like, he started off really bad the other day, right, for his debut game as a Buccaneer. Say the trend continues. Father Time is obviously catching up to him. He has more interceptions than touchdowns this season. You know, they have a losing record. Does that do anything to his card market and the legacy that he's already built?
He's the best at his position. So card-wise, if you want to look at the value, the best at their position, you have Tom Brady, who outsells everybody, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. who outsells every other running back.
Yeah.
No, and I'm serious. Like I wish I was joking.
I know.
But I'm not joking. And I want everybody to understand and think about that and put it in perspective real quick.
Yeah.
Like the best selling running back right now in the hobby is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. How many games has he played, Doug?
Oh, one?
One. But getting back to your point, I don't think Tom Brady could finish out his career with
six Super Bowls is all you got to say.
But I mean, he basically can finish out his Buccaneers career 8-8 every year, not make the playoffs, have more interceptions than touchdowns, and he still is Tom Brady. And his cards will always sell for, you know, a ridiculous amount.
I agree. That's what I thought. That's my thinking as well.
And we actually went a little bit more in depth with Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the NFL Blitz show. So check back on Mojo Break Media for that, as well as our picks that we make every week as well. But yeah, I mean, it's something to pay attention to. Like I said, you'll see on the other show, is I would not get too wrapped up in some of these non-numbered cards because you just don't know what's going to happen. If you're buying a numbered card, you're buying an autograph card, you know that there's a certain amount produced. When you're buying a card like a stained glass or something like that, especially stained glass not being rookies. I mean, I know Patrick Mahomes is on the path to be the next Tom Brady, but I mean, it's a stained glass card. I mean, there's no rookie card logo on it. So I just wouldn't get wrapped up in this at the prices they're at. If you really, really want one of these cards, I would let it ride out until the end of the year. You got to have a little bit of patience, like the Guns N' Roses song, and just hang out. And you could probably get one of these cards for a quarter of the price. I think the fire is hot right now. I think the hype is hot, and sometimes you're going to pay these hype prices. So I 100% on some of this Mosaic stuff. If you can get a premium, I would flip it and sell it right now and, you know, wait and buy it months later after Prism and Contenders, and we're in the mid-season of the NFL or even late into the season. So don't know when this bubble's going to burst, but we're seeing group break spots of Joe Burrow sell for $10,000 in a Mosaic case, which I doubt got paid, but
There's no way, because
you buy a case for that.
Cause price. I actually looked after that in the Bengals spot in a six box break on eBay. Same day sold for $1,000. So how could a full case break just Joe Burrow sell for $10,000?
Exactly.
And that also you need to take a step back and go, what you see on eBay is not legit.
Yes. I did want to talk about this one of these episodes, because things sell on eBay and things don't get paid for all the time. So you can't really trust
it. All the time. What do you think percentage-wise? Like, let's throw this out there. Like, what do you think percentage-wise completed auctions? What is the percentage that you sports cards? Not everything.
I want to say it depends on the threshold of the value of the card after a certain amount.
$1 to 10 million. The whole thing. Everything.
I think cards
that in consideration as well, because like if it's a $2 card, it probably is like a 99.5% chance it gets.
So I would say cards that are over $1,000, let's say that. I think the majority of the time that they don't get paid after an auction, shoo, man, what number am I going to throw out there? 65-70%?
I think that's fair. I think I would actually say, and I'm taking in account of every auction, every price, I think it's about 8% that don't get paid.
About 8% overall. For the whole thing.
Okay. And that's something to keep in mind. Obviously, if it's a lower numbered card, you can't get that many comps. But if you're dealing with a silver, I wouldn't go off of one comp. There's people on Facebook like, last comp was $1,100. You know, well, one sold $1,100 and then three other ones sold at $600. So I would do more research to make sure that there just wasn't one that sold at that and you're getting taken, basically. So, but we have mentioned it in shows before. I would love, and maybe we can all try to collectively get eBay on board and let's make like some kind of check mark that this thing got paid. That would solve it all. That would solve every question that we have.
I got you. I live right down the street from.
Knock on their door.
I'm gonna knock on a door and talk to Mr. eBay and be like, hey, eBay.
I mean, that would be in their best interest, too. There's no skin off their back, because if somebody sees a card got paid for, like, at $6,000 and then the next one goes for $6,000, they can be like, well, the other one got paid for $6,000. Sometimes people are like, I got shield. I'm not paying. I'm out. Blah. You know?
Exactly.
I always felt that they could easily put this system in place if the card was paid for and shipped. Because that's another thing. That, I mean, people can get paid for a card and never ship it.
True.
So that's the other way that it works. And basically the buyer gets screwed in that sense. But why can't you just have a check mark? Ship and paid. Shipped and paid.
Or it'd be shipment pending or stuff.
No. Like, if it gets paid and shipped, it gets a check mark when you look at the completed listing. It has, like, you know, green for its selling, and then right below, paid and shipped.
And it should be able to be done automatically, right? Where there's not somebody that has to work at eBay.
So then if it doesn't get shipped, it doesn't get the check mark, and you're like, well, like, what happened here? Like, maybe I shouldn't take
that $10,000.
Maybe I shouldn't take that from my data now, because, like, it was paid for, but obviously there was an issue with the transaction. And it would help with, when I want to buy from that buyer, I can look and go, man, you've had a lot of transactions where, like, it was paid, but it was never shipped. Like, you want to tell me, are you, like, not printing your label from PayPal or eBay? Are you, like, doing it yourself? Like, I have some questions.
Right. Or how many shill bid scenarios where maybe guys are shill bidding their own cards, they're not getting paid. So now a guy has 8 listings in the last month that didn't get paid.
Yeah, then you basically, when you go to their stock that they have to bid on, you're going to be like, man, I don't know if I really want to buy from this person, because what's going on? Like, why are they always having auctions and never get paid?
Jason brings up a point. Mercari is, you don't get paid until the buyer gets the item and rates you, which that's a little weird, but I can kind of see that perspective. But, you know, that opens up a lot of people that are not, like, you know, that might take advantage of that system.
Isn't that how StockX work? You have to wait till the person gets to get your money.
Oh, really? Well, because don't they – StockX shoes sometimes, like you selling your Jordans, and if it's sold, don't you have to send it to StockX first?
So
and then
I've actually – I'm glad you brought this up, because about a year ago, I ripped on StockX. I remember, like, when they had the StockX Chrome, and I ripped on it. I think out of all of us, I've used StockX a fair amount to buy shoes.
Trader.
I love you, StockX. You're a great company.
But you do a lot of cards these days too.
Yeah, but so when you buy something, so you basically can either do an offer or you can buy it at the price that
they're asking.
StockX physically doesn't have the shoes. Basically they're like a consignor. And then the person who sold the shoes, who had the listing, they send them, and you actually get notification that your shoes have been sent to StockX. Now, with StockX, they go through, they put a little, like, keychain on it, and they certify it. And they're like, okay, these are legit Nike, whatever. And then they pack them up and ship them to you. So, like, they actually get shipped from the customer who's selling to StockX.
Like, so it's a 2-week, 3-week process,
Yeah, best case scenario, depending on how fast, and I don't think the seller gets paid until I physically receive the card.
Exactly, that's what I meant to say,
shoes.
Yeah.
So, but if I'm trying to, you know, if I got a date on Saturday, I'm trying to go to the club, and on Monday I'm buying my Jordans, I'm not getting them in a week, so it's not.
No, yeah, okay, when you buy shoes from StockX, it's not for the instant gratification buyer.
Yeah.
It's for somebody who's like, I want these. I can't find them anywhere else. I want to pay a good price on them, but I'm in no rush to get them whatsoever.
Gotcha.
And then when you get them, sometimes you forget that you even bought them. It's so long. You get them in like 2.5 weeks. They're all, you know, you're hanging out, watching some TV, sipping some sodas, and then you bought some 1995 up tempos, and you paid like $170 for them. But
that's
whatever.
Pretty good deal. Well, that's all we got for today. We got more Ginter on deck. So make sure you guys subscribe, not only here, but at Mojo Break Media on our YouTube channel, where all of our content is going. We got 3 shows a week. We have more in the works. So make sure you follow us there. Follow us on Twitter at our new Mojo Break Media Twitter, which is at Mojo Break M. We're doing giveaways constantly on there, interacting with you guys. So we appreciate it. And we'll see you guys next week on The Hype. Peace.